I don't know about you, but I have heard a lot of jokes that begin with, you'll know you're getting old when. I think maybe one of the ones that I've heard the most is, you'll know you're getting old when your back goes out more often than you do. Right, Ed? Right, yeah, right. Ha, 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 right. I'm going to continue with these. You can groan all you wish, all right? It's like, you'll know you're getting old when you enjoy hearing about other people's operations. It's called an organ recital, Jonathan. Or you'll know you're getting old when you can't remember the last time you laid on the floor to watch TV. Oh, I'm enjoying these. I don't know about you. Or you know you're getting old when you quit trying to hold your stomach in, no matter who comes into the room. Here's two more if you can stand it. And I can identify with both of these. You'll know you're getting old when it takes two tries or more to get up off the chair. And finally, you'll know you're getting old when you've been there and you've done that, but you just don't remember what that was. Oh, I identify with both of those. Some of those jokes can be a little discouraging if you're not careful. So let's bring some encouragement through these. And let's do it through a Bible story. The Bible story of a man called Caleb. Caleb was a very important Old Testament character. He assisted both Moses and Joshua in helping to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. And one of the places that we read about him is in the book of Joshua in chapter 14. Now, before I read any of it, let's have a little refresher course. Do you remember in the book of Numbers when Moses told the people that as they were approaching the promised land, he was going to send some spies into the land to check it all out? And he sent 12 spies into that area. And one of them was Joshua, and another one of them was Caleb. And the report of those spies went something like this. Oh, Moses, it's pretty awesome over there. It's like an area flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful. But the people, oy vey, the people, they're so big and they're so strong and they're so mighty and their cities have big walls around them. And some of the people are so big, they're like giants. We felt like grasshoppers in comparison to them. There's just no way that we can take this land. That was the majority report of those 12 spies. But both Joshua and Caleb said something different. They said, well, Moses, yes, that's fairly accurate, what everyone's saying, but God promised us that land, so we should take it. We think we will win because God will be with us. Well, the people went with the majority, and God did not like it. So he sent them all back into the wilderness to wander some more. Now, that's the refresher of who Caleb was. Now, let's read about Caleb in the book of Joshua. And this is when the people of God returned to the same place years later. This is Joshua 14, verse 6. Now, the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. You remember, Moses was no longer leading, Joshua was leading. The people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Well, right there we have some encouragement. When Caleb was 40 years old, which for many of us means he was still a young man, he was so committed to God. I'm continuing now in verse 10. Caleb said, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time that he said to Moses while Israel was moving about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Now we're getting somewhere, people." He's not a puppy any longer, is he? Here's continuing with verse 11. He said, "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." Wait a minute. He's 85 years old. Surely he was half blind, half deaf, overweight, with weak legs and balance issues. And how could he possibly say that he was still as strong today as he was then? Well, physically, I suspect he had gone downhill, at least a little bit. But let's talk about his spiritual strength. At 40, Caleb was willing to tackle giants because he had faith that God would deliver him. Because God said he would deliver him. Now at 85, his spiritual muscles are even stronger. Listen to what he said to Joshua in verse 12. He said, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Brothers and sisters, I'm only a few years behind Caleb at this point. My strength is compromised. My memory is fickle. And I love my recliner chair in my family room very much. And there are some Sundays when I finish preaching here that one of the first things I think about is where's the closest chair so that I can sit down and just have a moment of recovery. Would I have said what Caleb said in that dialogue with Joshua? I seriously doubt it. But then I have to consider these four words from the lips of Caleb. The Lord helping me. The Lord helping me. In other words, Caleb believed the promises of God. Wow! Caleb believed the promises of God. He followed God wholeheartedly. And he had no doubt that God was going to bring victory. I'm asking myself, do I have that kind of faith? Do you? The passage ends this way. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. How many times did Did they use that word? Wholeheartedly. Maybe I should have called this message wholeheartedly. I want to learn from Caleb. Don't you? I want to learn more about that. Here are some thoughts that have come to me about Caleb's faith as demonstrated to us in these passages. First, this. We are never done until God takes us home. As long as God gives you breath, He has something for you to do. He has a reason for keeping you around here. Maybe it's just for you to get to know Him better and to trust Him more. Who doesn't want to get to know God better and trust Him more? Is there anyone here who does not want to know God better and trust Him more? And think about this. God is always getting you ready for your final retirement. And by that, I mean going to heaven, in case you need any help interpreting that. But there may be some stuff in your life that He wants you to get cleared up first. So you may be thinking, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. And He says, not yet. But Lord, I'm ready. I'm not. Why? Stuff. I like what it says in Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it out to its completion. What that does not say is that He will do it on my timeline or yours. I heard a country western gospel song about all of this. I'm not much of a country music lover myself, but listen to these lyrics. I've been knocked down and I've been torn apart, carrying the weight of a heavy heart. I thought my story was over and done, but I heard the Lord say, child, I'm not done. God ain't done with me yet. He's still writing my song through the trials, through the fire. If R.B. were here, that's exactly how he pronounces it. Through the fire. He's been there all along. I may be broken, but I won't forget. I'm still standing because God ain't done with me yet. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you are never done until God takes you home. He always has something for you to do. Never accept the term retired Christian. One more thing on this one, brothers and sisters. Even if your body is ready to give up, and even if you feel like you're close to dying, always desire to end well. You know, do you know the name Steve Green, a gospel recording artist, tenor? Steve and I were friends, and I interviewed him on a radio program years ago, and I asked him a question: what is most important to you in your life right now in terms of your walk with the Lord? And he said, to end well, to end well. And that stuck with me. I'll never forget that. I hadn't given it much thought. I thought, it's over when it's over. When the fat lady sings, I'm gone, done. No, to end well. How you end may inspire the generation behind you to love God more and to know God more. And that includes your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. Okay, now here's another thought that Caleb's faith says to me. God has been preparing you and me our whole lives for today. Jeremiah 29:11 is up here on the banners. It's one of those things we love to talk about. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." How many times does God need to remind me and you that He is in control? Karen? He's in control, not me. I'm not in control. Elaine? I'm not in control. I think I am, but I'm not. He said He walks with you through all of life, whatever is happening in your life. He's walking with you. Maybe you need to hear this. This is Isaiah 43. Do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Who's speaking here? Not me. God is speaking. Not Isaiah. God is speaking. He's called you by name. He loves you personally. He has a plan for you. He's still using you. So He says, because of all that, three words: do not fear. That's definitely a faith-building passage, isn't it? You need to hear it, you didn't hear it. Okay, if you can stand it, here's yet another thought inspired by Caleb's faith. And this one is for the younger people in our room today. But who knows, it could be for the older people too. Like Caleb, you may have to wait 45 years to finally see God bring about your desire, whatever it is. Ian, you're probably the youngest person in the room. All of us may have to wait patiently to see God fulfill His plans for us. Every single one of us needs to learn patience. I hate that, but it's true. Our timing and God's timing might not be the same. Psalm 37:7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Do you think that those 45 years between Moses and Joshua, that Caleb ever talked to the Lord about his situation? Probably. And do you think that he ever felt impatient? Probably. After all, he was just a man like we are. But do you think Caleb believed that God heard his prayers? Remember, he followed God how? Wholeheartedly. This is from Micah 7:7. "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God," here it comes, "will hear me." You know, we could probably stop right there, and that would be enough message for us to chew on for a while. But here's just one more thought, inspired by Caleb's faith. God had promised Caleb that he would not only live in the promised land someday, but that he would inherit a specific part of the promised land. Let me read again what Caleb reminded Moses about. He said, "I, Caleb, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Caleb acted on God's promises. It did not matter to him that he was now 85 years old. It did not matter that there were giants firmly entrenched in the promised land. In essence, Caleb said, God promised it, now get out of my way. I love it. Well, has God ever promised you anything? What about this? Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. It takes a Caleb-sized faith to live those words. One day Jesus was telling his disciples that they were to share about him and his kingdom with everyone, and he warned them that when they did, they would be arrested and they would be beaten for his sake. But even under those awful circumstances, Jesus told them to keep on sharing about him. He said this in Mark 13:11. He said, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Somebody in this room very recently asked me a question. How do I share my faith with other people? How do I tell other people about God? And there's the answer. The Holy Spirit will speak through you if you follow God wholeheartedly. If your faith is in Him, do not fear. Just open your mouth and let Him speak through you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through you and work through you and show others your faith. Allow Him. Jesus also told us, not just the disciples, He told us as His disciples to share with others about Him. And we're not talking about people who are in the dire circumstances that the disciples were. We've got it easy compared to that. Even though all Christians know that they're supposed to share about Jesus, many do not. Maybe it's even more accurate to say most do not. And why is that? One of the common excuses is, well, I just don't know what to say. Let the Holy Spirit say it. But it takes a Caleb-sized faith to live out those words. We could go on and on about God's promises. There are just countless promises to you and me in the Bible. For instance, He promised to always be with us. He promised to never forget you. He promised to protect you. He promised to provide a way out of any temptation that you face. And here's a big one. He promised to forgive you. I just love this verse from 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Yes, I can just see that painted in the clouds. Yes, hallelujah. Why does it take a Caleb-sized faith to believe Him? Before we land this baby, here's what happened. 85-year-old Caleb led the forces, defeated the foes, and helped God's people inherit the promised land forever. Why? Because he followed God wholeheartedly. How? Because he followed God wholeheartedly. I end with this. To those of you in this room who are not yet on Social Security, never underestimate what God can do through a senior citizen. Hurrah! And to you senior citizens in this room, keep on keeping on, because God ain't done with you yet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that I haven't just tickled ears. I pray that I've touched hearts through your message, that we will not fear, that we will be courageous, that we will be your true disciples, serving you wholeheartedly. And that whenever we do, Lord, you will help us. You will help. You promised. So there. In Jesus' name, amen.